It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You're all right.
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4 to 1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
On Twitter, the president was still railing against the weekend protests in the NFL, where some 200 players took a knee during the national anthem or linked arms in solidarity against the president. Many people booed the players who kneeled yesterday, which was a small percentage of total, President Trump wrote. These are fans who demand respect for our flag. It all started at a rally for Senator Luther Strange in Alabama on Friday. President Trump talking about American pride and respect for the flag.
Wouldn't you love to see one of these NFL owners, when somebody disrespects our flag, to say, get that son of a bitch off the field right now, out, he's fired. He's fired!
The statement brought swift reaction from players and owners alike. Patriots owner Bob Kraft, a good friend of the president, said he was disappointed.
He has to take his ideas and go with what he wants. I think it's very disrespectful to our country.
Some people thought the president was fueling racial divisions with what he said on Friday. Patriots quarterback Tom Brady stood for the anthem with hand on heart, but linked arms with another player.
I certainly disagree with, you know, what he said and you know, thought it was just divisive.
President Trump insisted Brady and others have it wrong, tweeting, quote, "The issue of kneeling has nothing to do with race. It's about respect for our country, flag, and national anthem. NFL must respect this."
All right, that's John Roberts, and that was the report last night on a special report. By the way, I had my mic off. That's what happens sometimes. I'm listening, but I forget to turn my mic on. Well, that's all the talk. Everyone's talking about the NFL and the anthem. We talked about it a little bit yesterday, but today I'm going to open the phone lines because I'm really think this is something we should have a discussion about. Sometimes, you know, the things that I talk about, perhaps, you know, because D.C. has more knowledge of some of these things, these policy issues, I don't open the phone lines. But this is an issue where your voice is the one that matters. And so we're going to talk about what you thought about what the president said, what you think about the players kneeling during the anthem, what you might think about your individual teams, people that you notice, comments that you've heard. Really, we're just going to have a town hall discussion on the national anthem and the NFL. And our phone number is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. I have a few other things I'm going to share with you before we jump into this. John, that wasn't all of his report, as you could probably tell, so let's listen to the next part of John Roberts' report.
Press Secretary Sarah Sanders today said the president has no regrets about his initial comments, regardless of the reaction they provoked.
Did the president go too far in referring to these players as SOBs who should be fired?
I think that it's always appropriate for the president of the United States to defend our flag, to defend the national anthem, and to defend the men and women who fought and died to defend it.
The controversy spread over into other sports. LeBron James, no fan of President Trump, was sharply critical.
The thing that kind of frustrated me and pissed me off a little bit is the fact that he's now, he used sport. He used the sports platform to try to divide us.
NASCAR, on the other hand, appeared to agree with the president in principle, if not parlance, in a statement saying, quote, "Our respect for the national anthem has always been a hallmark of our pre-race events." Some NASCAR owners said they would fire any driver or crew member who didn't stand for the anthem, meeting approval from the president, who tweeted, quote, "So proud of NASCAR and its supporters and fans. They won't put up with disrespecting our country or our flag." They said it loud and clear.
Driver Dale Earnhardt Jr. broke with his team's owner, though, saying that all Americans are granted the right to peaceful protest. Pittsburgh Steelers quarterback Ben Roethlisberger now says he regrets not coming out onto the field for the playing of the national anthem yesterday and says, you can bet we're going to be there next Sunday.
All right, John Roberts on Fox last night. That was just a tiny bit. I'm sure if you watched any news last night, you saw countless discussions of it. I would just say, is it possible that football and other sports have already been politicized? Is it possible that President Trump didn't actually do that? Anybody notice NFL, ESPN? Anybody notice any kind of politicization of sports? Just interjecting. By the way, more than 200 players protested by kneeling during the national anthem. At least that's a report for the New York Post. I actually read a lower number in another outlet, but we'll go with that. 200, I think, out of what? I think it's 20%, some were estimating. By the way, the NBC Sunday Night Football rating was the lowest for week three since the year 2006. So Nielsen's is coming out now. Also, the Sunday Night Football ratings were down again on the day of player protests. So we know that people are protesting, people are not watching, people are not watching ESPN. And we're just not sure what the economic effect of all of this is going to be. One thing I want to mention, I think this is really important. Gravian did a report on Roger Goodell and the league rules on protesting the anthem. Let me just read. Obviously, Grabian's not a fan of Roger Goodell. NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell is such a stickler for adhering to the intricacies of the NFL's league rulebook that he infamously waged a years-long multi-million-dollar battle with the New England Patriots trying to prove that balls used in the 2014 AFC Championships between the Pats and the Indianapolis Colts were underinflated. After a federal judge vacated Goodell's four-game suspension of Tom Brady, Goodell appealed to the second U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals, and by 2016, the Pats appeared to lose their will to keep fighting, and you know the rest of it. Then it goes on to say, yet the NFL commissioner, notorious for his unusually massive compensation package, rumored to be north of $40 million a year, making his total compensation of $156 million higher than Tom Brady's, is taking a decidedly less fastidious approach to the rules governing the national anthem at the NFL games. The NFL rulebook specifically requires both teams appear on the field for the playing of the anthem, standing, remaining quiet, holding their helmets in their left hands. Failure to do so can result in fines, suspensions, and the loss of draft picks. The rules are on pages A62 and A63 of the Game Operations Manual. The national anthem must be played prior to every NFL game, and all players must be on the sideline for the national anthem. The players on the field and the bench should stand at attention, face the flag, hold helmets in their left hand, and refrain from talking. The home team should ensure that the American flag is in good condition. It should be pointed out to players and coaches that we continue to be judged by the public in this area of respect for the flag and our country. Failure to be on the field by the start of the national anthem may result in discipline, such as fines, suspensions, and/or the forfeiture of draft choices for violations of the above, including first offenses. And so I could go on with this, and I will come back to this article. We'll put this on our Facebook page. It's by Grabian, and it gives the text of the manual, which seems to say, like without any kind of wiggle room, that the rules by all of these teams, whether they stayed in the locker room or whether their players knelt, were breaking rules. And Roger Goodell is rejoicing in this. He thinks it's great. He said he's never been prouder of the NFL. He says the NFL and our players are at their best when we help create a sense of unity in our country and culture. A sense of unity? Okay, well, I've tipped my hat at what I think, and I have other thoughts besides that. I would. But, and I know you do too, so I want to talk to you. Our phone number is 888-589-8840. But before we do that, I just have to tell you that in the Senate race, which is taking place today between Luther Strange and Judge Roy Moore in Alabama, the most important Senate race certainly of the year, all eyes are on Alabama. The president went to Huntsville, Alabama to stump for Luther Strange on Friday night. It's during that speech that he made these statements about the NFL. But I heard the speech. I also know that the president was strong-armed. He allowed himself to be strong-armed by the establishment. I know that Bob Corker was one of the chief senators that twisted his arm, that said he needed to go and support Luther Strange, who was appointed by the governor of Robert Bentley, who was forced to step down in Alabama, and then nominated Luther Strange to take his place. And a lot of people feel that Luther Strange is very connected to the establishment. I don't think that argument could be made because you know, actually, we're going to have to go to this commercial. Let's listen to Peter Ducey's report on this, and I'll come back and finish my sentence. Here it is.
A Republican is guaranteed to win tomorrow's runoff in Alabama. But Senator Luther Strange says the party's chances to keep the seat Jeff Sessions held for 20 years grow dim if its challenger, Judge Roy Moore, wins.
If I don't win tomorrow, then the Democrats have a wide open shot at picking up a seat in the Deep South, which would be catastrophic for our agenda.
President Trump called into the Rick and Bubba show this morning to make sure voters know his pick, Strange, doesn't get marching orders from Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell.
They have him as best friends with Mitch McConnell. He doesn't even know Mitch.
Twice today, the president mistakenly referred to challenger Judge Roy Moore as Ray, and when corrected, explained what that mix-up may mean for the former Chief Justice of the Alabama Supreme Court.
I don't know Roy Moore at all.
Right.
And I think it's perhaps indicative when somebody doesn't even know his name. You know, that's not a good sign.
But the president did say on Friday in Huntsville that he'd back Moore if he had to, and his campaign noticed.
If his opponent wins, I'm going to be here campaigning like hell for him.
I can't wait.
Over the weekend, Moore continued to promote himself as the only candidate religious conservatives can trust.
I will stand for the people of Alabama and the people across our country who want the knowledge of God brought back to the United States Congress.
And even though President Trump endorsed Luther Strange, many of his most prominent supporters are breaking with him to help Moore. A rally tonight will feature Brexit leader Nigel Farage, who campaigned with candidate Trump, and Steve Bannon, who helped get Trump elected. The Strange campaign plans to counter with a heavy hitter of their own, the Vice President Mike Pence.
It brings home the importance of the race in a way that no rally that I could put on could ever do.
Okay, so here's the deal. The president stumped for Luther Strange on Friday. Mitch McConnell and his PAC and Karl Rove and his PACs poured millions into Alabama, running ads nonstop in favor of Luther Strange. So you can say all you want to that Luther Strange is not connected to the leader of the Senate, but it just doesn't, it defies logic. The senators have actually come out, the establishment senators saying, we pray Luther Strange does not lose because it doesn't bode well for us in our reelection campaigns. We may be in trouble in our states. Lindsey Graham said that. They itemized the people, Roger Wicker in Mississippi, Bob Corker in Tennessee. They might be in trouble if Luther Strange loses because it might mean that the people might actually try to get them out. So these are the reasons why people feel that Luther Strange is connected to the establishment. Why else would they spend millions trying to make sure that he gets elected? But this morning, I'm just reading that a poll came out that was taken over the weekend by the Wall Street Journal, and it shows that Judge Moore is up 16 points. And that's pretty amazing because Mike Pence, Vice President Mike Pence, went in to speak for him, I think, last night or Sunday night. So that's what's happening in Alabama. And certainly those of you within listening range or have friends, relatives in Alabama, you know, send an email, remind them they need to vote today. This is an important race, very important. How desperately the Senate needs good men and conservatives and certainly Christians, serious Christians, not just by name only, but men of God who understand what's at stake and are willing to do battle. So that's what's happening in Alabama today. All right, when we come back, we're going to go right to the phone lines. Because there's so much to say about this football controversy, is there not? Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
I'm Dina from Virginia. I've been listening to AFR almost daily for about 3 years now,
My husband was the one who found the AFR station in our area. And prior to discovering AFR, I had a heartbreaking experience of having to leave my beloved church because of the lack of true leadership and the lack of true meat and potatoes biblical teaching. I feel like AFR has personally taken me under their wings and have been educating me to be a stronger, more compassionate soldier in this good fight. Thank you, AFR, for all you do for the body of Christ. We will continue to support you and pray the Lord will continue to bless your ministry and keep it strong until He returns. God bless you.
Ensure that we impact even more lives by partnering with us during our three-day Share-a-thon starting October 17th. Listener-supported American Family Radio, for your family.
Do you remember those crazy fads from the late 60s and 70s? My dad always hated my bushy sideburns and long hair, my purple bell-bottoms and knee-high boots. But back in the day, I was hot stuff. Hi, I'm Mark Gregston with Parenting Today's Teens. Just like we confounded our parents with goofy clothes and weird styles, our teens today have their own trends and fashions. And just as you don't wear the same things you did back then, your teen won't always dress this way either. So if your daughter is caught in some crazy fad, don't flip out. It doesn't mean much of anything about who she is as a person, except that she's a normal teenager. Don't make a passing fad your battlefield of wills. Relax. This too shall pass.
Learn how to handle the top four fears parents face during the school year. Download the free PDF online at parentingtodaysteens.org.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Stearns with news and commentary next.
Truett McConnell University.
My name is Dr. Robert Bowen. I am the Dean of Science, Technology, Engineering, and Mathematics, and I'm an Associate Professor of Physiology. So one of the benefits of being a faculty member at TMU is not only are we allowed to speak the gospel in the classroom and within our areas of discipline, we're encouraged to do so. Everybody needs to know the love of Christ. And so I try to incorporate in my classes, and one of the places that I incorporate in the most is in my office when I have students come in.
Are you called? Visit truett.edu. Today.
Country music star Megan Lindsay did the unthinkable at Sunday's Tennessee Titans football game. Miss Lindsay was given the honor of singing the national anthem. Fans rose to their feet, removed their hats, and placed hands over hearts. Meanwhile, the Tennessee Titans were nowhere to be found. The football players opted to remain inside the locker room until after the anthem had been performed. But this commentary is not about the shameful antics of the Titans. It's about Megan Lindsay. She was just about finished with the anthem when she took a knee. She literally took a knee to protest the song she'd been asked to perform. My only question is, why would an artist agree to sing a song she found offensive? It's clear to me Megan Lindsay is a Dixie Chick wannabe. But the most shocking thing of all was not Miss Lindsay or the Titans. It was the fact Tennessee fans did not walk out of the stadium en masse. I'm Todd Stearns.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
Even after taking a hard hit, NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell is protecting his players like an unmovable offensive line. Of the protests, he told Sports Illustrated, quote, "They reflected the frustration, the disappointment of the players over the divisive rhetoric we heard." Roughly 200 kneeled or locked arms in solidarity during the Sunday games, out of a total of 1,696 players.
You don't like this country? Find another one.
It's their right to have something to say.
Several owners joined the protests on the field. Washington Redskins owner Daniel Snyder locked arms with his players. But Dallas Cowboys owner Jerry Jones has said the gridiron is not the place for protest.
That's not the place to do anything other than honor the flag and everybody that's given up a little for it.
Three teams stayed off the sidelines during the national anthem, but one player prominently defied that. Pittsburgh Steelers offensive tackle Alejandro Villanueva, a war hero, stood at the players' tunnel with his hand over his heart. Villanueva is a West Point grad, an Army Ranger who served three tours in Afghanistan and was awarded the Bronze Star for saving the lives of his buddies in combat. His jersey has now become the biggest NFL player item sold online. But his patriotic gesture was indirectly criticized by his head coach, Mike Tomlin.
I was looking for 100% participation. We're going to be respectful of our football team.
Villanueva, I love you, brother. God bless you, and thank you for standing. As far as the Steelers go, no more.
To show their support for Villanueva, some fans burned their Steelers stuff. Jim Haney, 55 years old, told us he's been a Steelers fan since he was born. But he was so offended by the Steelers hiding in the locker room that he kissed his team goodbye.
All right, that was Eric Shawn on Fox. It's, you know what, there's just so much to say about this. And there are a lot of things I could say. You probably know that Pittsburgh Steeler Villanueva. Could I just say before we start this, I've been doing talk radio for a long time, and I've always said, not maybe at this microphone, but trust me, when I had a three-hour show in Chicago, I said this a lot. There are two things I cannot discuss, and that's sports and dogs, because I know so little about it. So my language for discussing this is limited. I have to tell you, and I might make, you know, my knowledge of teams, of locations, places. I remember once being on Bill O'Reilly. We were talking about a baseball game, and I said during halftime. I'm just saying. I know a lot about a lot of things, but about this, I really am not good at these discussions. But because the issue here is so much greater than my detailed knowledge of sports, I think we need to talk about it, and I am sincerely interested in knowing what you think. Before I go to the phones, though, let me just say that Alejandro Villanueva, who you just you know now, was the Army Ranger who stood, the only Pittsburgh Steeler who stood, who did three terms in Afghanistan and was a hero, received medals, is now regretting that he stood. He said he was embarrassed to see that he'd stand. He said he embarrassed his coach. He regrets it. So many of us are very sad that he would say that. Some are saying they think he was pressured. I don't know. You know, I don't know about that. I have someone else who commented on that, said that there's two kinds of moral courage. There's moral courage to fight on the battlefield, and then there's moral courage to stand up for moral issues, and that some people have one and don't have the other. And it's rare to find people who have both moral courage and courage on the battlefield. So that's just one comment. And now to your phone calls. 888-589-8840 is the number. 888-589-8840. Let's go to Mary in Texas. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning, Sandy. Thank you for taking my call.
My pleasure.
I didn't watch the whole game. I just barely, but I did notice that when the Cowboys went on the 50, all of them, even the other, went to the 50, knelt, got up, and then they brought the flag out, and the Cardinals and the Cowboys locked arms standing for the national anthem. At first I thought, I don't watch much of the game anyway, but at least they stood for the national anthem. So that's something.
So you were right. No, I know people are talking about that. I'm glad you mentioned it. They did do that. I think, don't you think, Mary, were you clear about why they knelt? What do you think the kneeling meant?
What they had said prior was they did not agree with what the president said. And that's why they took the kneel on the 50, all of the players, even the owner and the coach, all the coaches. And it was because of what President Trump said.
Okay, Mary, the president said, you know, in really horrible language, but he said that wouldn't it be good if one of these guys who refuses to stand during the anthem was asked to leave the field and was fired? And, you know, I just read just a few minutes ago out of the rule book of the NFL, which actually says that all the players must stand, must hold their helmet, must have their hand over their heart, must be on the field during the anthem. And if they are not, there will be penalties. So actually, it sounds to me like, in spite of the fact that Trump used vulgar language, which I cannot support, I don't think the president should speak that way, but he was right on the issue. Don't you think, Mary?
Well, yeah. But the Cowboys, that not many people know, is in their contract, they are to stand have their helmet off and their hand across their heart. And the Kansas City Chiefs are the same way. And if they don't, they are fired. So it's in their contract.
Yeah, interesting. Well, you know, I think three whole teams refused to come out on the field this past weekend. But it sounds to me like, I don't know how the rules, which rules trump which rules, but the NFL rules, again, as I said, it's not just the team rules. The NFL rules require that they stand and put their hands over their hearts and hold their helmets in their, what, their left hand while the anthem is being sung and show respect. So the greater rules say the same thing. Mary, thanks. One bright spot in all of this. Mark in Kentucky, what do you think about all of this?
Hey, good morning, Sandy. And I just want to say I have the opportunity here again. Praise God that we have American Family Radio and that we have this opportunity to speak. And I appreciate you opening the lines up to talk about this. We are in a sad state of affairs here in our nation. When we, you know, very simply, you know, don't follow the rules, don't enforce the rules, as you guys were just talking about, it's in the rules, it's a requirement. But isn't it sad that not only are we not enforcing the rules, but there's clear, more and more clear indication that we've lost our way. You know, we kicked God out of school a long time ago, no prayer in school, no Bible in school, and we're looking at the results. And I don't want to sound like some self-right, you know, overly righteous person that's got all the answers. What I'm saying is it's befuddling to me. It's confusing, if not downright angering to me, to the fact that we don't enforce the rules. You know, that's just simply put, you know, even though the president used a little bit too much emotion and some in a derogatory term to refer to somebody that basically should be fired because they didn't follow the rules. That's what they signed up for. But it is sad that the only reason why we I wouldn't want that to be the basis or the reason for somebody to be forced to stand and honor the flag, which would otherwise, that used to bind us together. I mean, my father served in World War II. I was in the military, so I have a little better sense because of that of what true patriotism is about. And it's so sad when we look around our fellow citizens, whether they diss the police, whether they diss whatever, whether they diss the immigration laws. We don't need a wall. We just need adherence to the law.
You know, Mark, in your own words, why do you think, why do people stand, why have we stood for generations when the flag is displayed and when we sing the national anthem? What is the point of that?
Yeah, the point, I already kind of said, that it's to bind us together, to acknowledge the fact that what was given for us, the sacrifices that were given. You know, every time I go to a Veterans Day memorial, you know, a Memorial Day service, you know, and like I used to faithfully, my father would take us to those services, and it's, even though it's harder to find nowadays, I bring my family, my kids to that, and it gets to me. I'm grateful that I have a closer connection because of my dad, who served in World War II in Europe, came back alive, and you realize, you know, you have a little sense of what it was given, and you look back at the other wars and the division and the suffering and the loss, the human life loss that was given for that thing that flags on a that waves on a pole, and you look up at that and you go, yes, that's a symbol of America and what was given for us to have the freedom that we have. I mean, it's crazy that people don't have that, but then again, I give them grace and say they just don't know. They just don't realize what the sacrifices that were made for this country to be what it is.
Yeah, and I think, Mark, that they don't really understand what lack of freedom is. They've always been free. They've been free in their homes. I mean, look, everybody has troubles. But they have never really been in bondage. Whether I'm not even talking slavery, I'm talking about Eastern Europe, where the communists held people in by the wall in East Germany, or where people in Venezuela cannot leave and they're starving, and even doctors and attorneys are becoming prostitutes in order to feed their families. They don't know what it's like not to be free. We have prospered so much that we are like spoiled fruit, and that flag represents freedom. That was the idea of America, that men could be free, that men of every race, ethnicity, and background whether they had status or no status. That was a big thing coming from Great Britain and the European cultures. There were pecking orders. You were born into a certain status. America threw that all out the window. A guy who had nothing could work hard and make something of himself, and every one of those NFL players should understand that. And that flag represents that. And Francis Scott Key wrote the words to the anthem where he says, he was so eager to see if the flag had withstood the battle that night in the bay outside of Maryland. And it wasn't about a silly flag or a piece of cloth. It was the idea, does it still stand? Oh, say, does that star-spangled banner still stand over the land of the free and the home of the brave? And so the very thing that those players say that they're protesting is what that flag represents. And does it still stand? And how dare they? How dare they diss that flag? And the ignorance that they display by doing that is part of the problem, Mark. They don't understand. They've been taught that America is this horrible, racist country that's oppressed millions. They're not taught the true history of this country. We have a situation where the left is successfully dividing us. It's not President Trump that caused this division. It's the left that delights and glories in destroying institutions like the NFL by Sunday football because it is a power base that they cannot allow to exist and take power. Too many people are attached. It forms too many patriotic notions. And what the left does, communism does, is destroy and undermine every personal connection from mother, father, family, separate you from all the things that you know, get rid of any kind of country identification, language identification, so that you will be dependent on government. That's what we're in the midst of. It's just almost incomprehensible, and yet we're seeing it play out in living color in front of us. Mark, thanks for your comments. Let's go to Joe in Alabama. Good morning, Joe.
What a pleasure to talk to you, Sandy. I listen to you every morning on my way to work, and I am so thankful I'm able to listen to you. And you are my number one news person. So at any rate, I wanted to give you a shout out.
Thank you.
I didn't. In Alabama, we allow write-in during the general election. I did not vote for President Trump. I wrote in someone else. I wanted to let you know about that. But what I'm saying, because of the context on this particular case, I do believe that President Trump is on the right. He has the right idea. His articulation is woefully inadequate, but his idea is right. I also, you hit on another, the other thing about this issue that amazes me is the great number of I can't remember the right word, but the point is, suppose those players would have been out there kneeling to pray on a football field. I wonder what would have happened then.
We know what would happen. There's actually precedence for that. People have been exactly. Tim Tebow was he got in trouble for kneeling in prayer.
That's actually my point. Ironies is the word that I was looking for. Incredible ironies. It's amazing how many, you know, I'm from Alabama. How many Jim Crow laws were signed by Republican governors? I wish some of those protesters could let me know about that.
In other words, it wasn't Republicans, it was Democrats, what you're saying.
Where was this protest? Exactly. Where was this protest during 8 years of the Obama administration? We had the national anthem at virtually every ball game then. One of the regrets I do have regarding this situation, I don't have cable or dish or any of those sorts of things, so I don't have the pleasure of disconnecting it and cutting off ESPN. So, and I do regret that I don't have the pleasure of terminating my service with them and vote that way. But I do hear the music, and you have done a great job. Keep up the good work.
Thanks, Joe. Don't forget to vote today down there in Alabama. We'll be really, all eyes are on Alabama, and we're praying for you guys today. And just praying that the outcome is one that that is God-honoring so that we could turn this country around. It's just one more thing that needs to happen, more good men and women serving in D.C. All right, we're not done talking about this. It's amazing, the list of things that Goodell has punished, personal expressions on the field, but not this one. He's proud of this one. This is Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
Such are the ways of everyone who is greedy for unjust gain. It takes away the life of its possessors. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Corner. The American people are finally getting the truth on the Southern Poverty Law Center. Here's what Greg Gutfeld of The Five on the Fox News Channel had to say. This poverty center has a $320 million endowment and chucks almost 20% of it into offshore accounts. We're talking Cayman Island stuff. They paid out $20 million in salaries in 2015, but provided just $61,000 in legal assistance. So the Southern Poverty Law Center appears to have no poverty and do virtually no law.
Listen to the Hamilton Corner, weekdays from 5 to 6 p.m. Central on AFR. For more from Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Is it possible to experience the peace of God in the midst of difficult circumstances? Dave Butts, president of Harvest Prayer Ministries, is experiencing that peace right now in the midst of stage 4 cancer.
No matter what it is, it seems to be so crushing, so devastating. Here's the promise of God. He will crush Satan. And here's the cool thing. It's under your feet.
Don't miss In God We Trust, Prayer, Peace, and the Presence of God. Dave Butts will encourage you no matter what you're facing. Coming up this Wednesday morning, 11 Central, on American Family Radio.
Exploring the Word is all about Jesus, because Jesus is on every page of the Bible, but sometimes people don't see him.
Bert Harper of Exploring the Word.
So we're taking a microscope and finding Jesus in each book of the Bible. He's there. And Alex and myself on Exploring the Word, we're going to try to bring that out, and it will be a blessing.
Join Bert and Alex each weekday at 3 Central on American Family Radio.
Dan Celia of Financial Issues.
Would you make one of the most important phone calls that you can make as far as your economic, your financial stewardship? I believe that permanent income is incredibly important to us, especially when you're retired. Listen, one thing we know for certain, the consumption of goods and your cost are never going to change. Make sure that you protect your income. Social Security, you will likely have maybe a pension. Add to permanent income with a charitable gift annuity and do the Lord's work. There's no better organization to do it with than the AFA Foundation, and no better time in our economy than right now.
Call and speak with a representative of the AFA Foundation at 800-326-4543, extension 345.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. Mother Nature has devastated Puerto Rico. Its present condition and the prospect of months without electricity is a cautionary tale for the rest of us. The electric grid most Americans depend upon for the necessities of life is vulnerable to similar kinds of catastrophic failures in the face of intense solar storms and/or enemy action. We're overdue for severe space weather, and North Korea's leader says he thinks we're at war, and his regime has specifically threatened our grid. It is no more protected against such perils than Puerto Rico's was against hurricanes. America's Caribbean territories are lucky to have the rest of us to help them rebuild. In so doing, we must make sure the grids there and on the mainland are both made resilient. After all, if ours is taken down, no one is likely to come to the rescue. This is Frank Gaffney.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the Morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
My concern with this whole process is what the flag stands for. When I stood on the sideline, I remember getting teary-eyed at points because I was so excited about being there, so proud to be part of that process. But I also grew up during a time when 70% of black men were mentors to us. They were in the home, doing the things they needed to do, teaching us that this country is the greatest place to be and to grow in. We now have come to a point because of liberalism, because of the process of what Democratic policies do, 70% of black men do not stay around. They don't have these parents and these fathers to tell them what they should be proud of and how they should stand up and for this process. So this is not a void. We're dealing with an ideology that, first of all, bans God. has destroyed the black family in the 70s, which we led the country in terms of our strength of our family unit. They have destroyed our history. No one even knows about how strong the black American history was. And now they want to take away the pride of the country. And I think it's a bridge too far. I think this is the one thing that as Americans, we might disagree. Mike and I might disagree in terms of how they, what they can do on the field. But at the end of the day, we love our country, and we're going to make sure we stand against those who take away the hope of our kids. The NFL corporate office right here in New York City. How about if their employees on lunchtime decided they wanted to demonstrate? They'll find out, they'll come back and find out their desks will be vacated.
Right.
And at the end of the day, this is what's happening. The liberals at the top elitists, they are using these, my race. They're bringing misery to my race and then using this misery to make sure they keep their power. We need to make sure, number one, there's two things. We need to make sure that we're standing against corporate elitists, liberal elitists like the NFL. I will be boycotting every single team that does this. But we also have to, as black conservatives, get into the black community and let them see what the Democratic Party has for years done to them. It's not a white American problem. It's a Democratic, black and white elitist problem.
That was Burgess Owens, who used to play for the Oakland Raiders and the New York Jets. He was on with Tucker Carlson last night. And, you know, I have to tell you, well, let me just interject something. He reminded me of a book. I remember interviewing the author when I was in Chicago. The book is called When We Were Colored. It's about the black family in the 50s, the strength of it. It's just an amazing book. I loved that book. I highly recommend it. And it echoes what Burgess was just talking about. And here's the thing. When I express my anger over this, and I am angry, I'm angry to see people kneeling during the national anthem and the flag, while the flag is being displayed. But the other thing that makes me angry, almost beyond measure, is the division that's being created between white and black Americans. I can hardly bear this. We've been talking about this for such a long time. The left is trying to destroy us by turning us against each other, white Americans and black Americans, who had made such strides in learning to live together. You can argue with me all you want. I just know what I've experienced. I've lived a long time. I have seen the relationships grow. I've seen black and white Americans learn to enjoy each other and appreciate each other and really love each other, become friends. I don't think you can really erase all differences in race. Why would you want to? There's something special about each race. We have become Americans sharing the same home. We are the same family, American family. And they are dividing us. They are agitating the racial wounds of the past on purpose. That's what community organizers do. That's what Saul Alinsky taught them to do, to aggravate and fester the boil and stir it and stir it and stir it and make it worse. And if you're told, it's just like the old game of gossip, if you are told repeatedly how badly treated you are, whatever reason, human nature, if your mother tells you your husband is treating you badly and she says it constantly on the phone, I can't believe he's doing that to you, you start having bad attitudes toward your husband, even though he might be really a great husband. They agitate. They're trying to divide and destroy our relationships, and they're doing a really good job of it. And I have to say that I understand the festering sores of racial tensions in this country. It brings up emotions and heartbreaks from the past that cannot be denied. But that is being used as a weapon against the black community, and then stoking the flames of that to create hatred for the white community. The white community is getting angry because they have all these stereotypes that come up with them, and it's creating such a division. Can we not see? You know, only God, really, only God can break down these barriers. But this is what I see, and this is what makes me incredibly angry about what they're doing. They're cheating. They're robbing us of the joy of our friendships, which we have had for so many years. I want to go to John in Indiana. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Miss Sandy. Thank you very much for taking my call. And I'm a three-time military vet, meaning I was in the Army, Navy, and Marine Corps. I also designated, at least as an African American, I consider myself an American. Just wanted to address, you know, the young men although this issue is much bigger than they are and than they actually comprehend, who did not want to stand for the for a national anthem. It's really a huge lack of ignorance on their part, or a huge amount of ignorance, I should say, on their part, lack of knowledge. And, you know, for, you know, serving in the military, and you asked the question very well, you know, why do we stand? It's because so many of our, you know, former service vets have fallen. That's why we stand. We stand because the flag still stood there. This is the very nature and essence of being an American. And unfortunately, you know, they have been deceived, you know, through such rhetoric and, you know, purposefully pompous attitudes of the left and in our government, such as, if you recall, Mrs. Obama, you know, saying in a ceremony honoring veterans, and, you know, she said, and it was caught, you know, all this over a, you know, blank flag, things of that nature, the stoking of racist ideologies that Mr. and Mrs. Obama and the left and, you know, as you mentioned, Saul Alinsky, all of these things are very much, deliberately intended to misdirect the thought processes of our players and of our entire country. So these young men, they have no clue, you know, what it means to actually serve and then to, stand tall, as Brian Fisher likes to say, you know, bow low before God and stand tall before men. And this, they have no backbone, no spine. You can't, and as a former player, you know, of athletics and football, of course, you cannot possibly concentrate on your sport if you cannot, focus on that and you're diverted, into some kind of false direction, as has been happening. So, my heart grieves for, you know, their ignorance, but we have to stand strong, you know, in these days that we're living. And I appreciate you so much for bringing up this issue. It's appalling. We are Americans, as you just well said. We live, love, and serve together. But you know, this is nothing but a diversionary tactic. So,
you know, John, no, I do think you. Don't you? Wouldn't you agree? I think that a lot of those guys that are linking arms. I exclude Colin Kaepernick. I think he's a troublemaker, and I think some of them are troublemakers. But I think the vast majority of them actually think that they are showing bravery, because they think as you said, they have so little knowledge. So what it means to them, it seems, is that they're standing up for racial equality. They're standing up against, you know, the mistreatment of their ancestors. And I can understand that. I can appreciate that. It's just that they don't have clear understanding, as you said. For one thing, I think that they are conflating being angry with President Trump and his suggestion that players be fired. They're conflating disrespecting the flag and the country with – they're conflating Trump with the country. They can't seem to distinguish the fact that they could not like the president and his language and still show respect for their country. They seem incapable of doing that. And so I don't know what the solution is, except maybe civics, maybe some really patriotic lessons. Maybe Roger Goodell needs himself to sit in a history 101 class and learn himself again what the flag is all about and what it was, what that song is all about, and when we stand, what it actually means. And then he needs to teach his players. But John, listen, thanks for your service. We appreciate it so much. Let's go to Adrena in Virginia. Good morning, Adrena.
Good morning, Sandy. I listen to you every day. I enjoy your show. Thank you for taking my call. I am a veteran. My husband is a 20-year veteran. The disrespect for the flag is just incomprehensible to us. We are now, even though both of us are avid NFL fans, we're not going to watch anymore until they stop their nonsense. Making the young man, Mr. Villanueva, embarrassed for doing what he did was wrong. This all started out as a protest against police brutality toward the African community, African-American community, I apologize, and people of color. And studies have been done that refute that now. And it's just a tragedy that these people make millions of dollars and they cannot respect our flag for the few moments that it takes for the national anthem. And especially on Gold Star Mother Day, which was Sunday.
Was that really? I didn't know that.
Yes, Gold Star Mother Day was this past Sunday. And so they probably didn't know that either. And that's the problem. A lot of people just fly by night and go along with the crowd rather than really looking around them and knowing what's real and the truth. It's sad. It's really sad. So we're just not going to watch. I'm an avid Patriots fan. My husband's an avid Dolphins fan. And we're not going to. And our local VFW, they're stopping NFL Sunday.
Yeah, well, I think that's what we have to do. I do. I think we have to do that. If the only way we can protest is through the pocketbook, then that's what we'll have to do until we can get to help them to think about what's really true and what's right in regard to this. Adrena, thank you for your service. I want to share this story quickly, if I can, and then go try to get another call in. Winston Churchill, this is written by Christian Adams, our good friend Christian Adams. He says, through the mid-30s, world powers were engaged in a test of wills, a chess match on the world stage. The problem was that the French and His Majesty's government didn't have enough will, and the Germans and Italy had far too much. Churchill recounts an event. In this dark time, the basest sentiments received acceptance or passed unchallenged by the responsible leaders of the political parties. In 1933, the students of the Oxford Union, under the inspiration of Mr. Joad, passed their shameful resolution that this House refuses to fight for king and country. It was easy to laugh off such an episode in England, but in Germany, in Russia, in Italy, and Japan, the idea of a decadent, degenerate Britain took deep root and swayed many calculations. There's more to the story. We'll put this on our Facebook page so you can read and share it. But the point is, it's been done before, and that's one of the reasons why the Germans were so bold. They thought the British had lost all will to fight, which they nearly had. And don't think that our enemies are not watching us in this moment. Let's go to Bruce in Oklahoma. Bruce, you might have the last word here, sir.
Good morning, Sandy.
Good morning.
He is risen.
Yes, he is. yes.
Sinner that I am, thank God for Jesus Christ. Sandy, standing for our flag is not just honoring our military who have died for our rights. We came over here in the 14, 1500s to escape the tyranny of the Europeans, and standing for our flag honors God. Barack Obama began a false narrative in Ferguson and allowed that to continue with his attorney general when they went down there. And the NFL came out on the field, I don't know if you remember, one of the teams with their hands up, signifying hands up, don't shoot,
which was completely false. Yeah,
that's correct. And it floors me that the NFL didn't do something then, and they have allowed that. Now, Barack Obama is the one that causes divisiveness. The NFL team has a major platform, and they should be uniting us, not dividing us. Sandy, God bless you and AFA.
God bless you too, Bruce. Good job of getting that in on time. There are a lot of emotions about this, and we just have to pray because someone is trying to divide us. I can't imagine. And I think it's the enemy with a large E, and we have to fight against that. And I know that we can. I know that we can. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.